grace and peace to you in the name of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul wrote, love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is a fulfilling of the law. That's a great text. In fact, it's too much for us. And I'm afraid, and you probably agree with me, that unless a person is a Christian, he will not understand what the Apostle Paul is talking about. To interpret the meaning of these words in the context of St. Paul's teaching regarding the sanctification and sanctification of eternal grace of the forgiven sinner, we need to understand that he speaks of law in the sense of God's word, the structure of God's fear, his character, we might say today, and that God wants human beings to exist alongside of him in his image. And likeness. That is the image of his love. Creation required the love of God, not the worshipfulness of God. And for this reason, also the great commandment summarizes God's intention for us. You shall love your God, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And so therefore our topic, love is a fulfilling of the law, is the apostle's summary or overarching theme of Romans chapters 12 to 15. He writes to the Christians of Rome of the life of the forgiven sinner. Of course, he who lives in this way with due attention to the order of structure by which this world is ordered, but who is being renewed in Christ every moment of each day. So the Christian, by definition, is a forgiven sinner. He does all that he does in love. And he can do it, Paul says, when he puts on the Lord Jesus Christ. And all this is very strange talk for the non-Christian. And we who are preachers of the word will have a hard time conveying this unless the Spirit of God is mightily at work in our hearers. We must not equate Paul's teaching about sanctification with philosophical or humanistic topics, as sometimes been done. Paul does not begin with man's potential, and he does not tell us what man can do for God. The apostle says clearly to the fact that human beings are fallen creatures for God. We have nothing about them, no virtues, or potentialities or possibilities, nothing which makes man acceptable to God. But God also loves fallen man. He loved him in the person of Jesus Christ's Son, by whom the unholy sinner is forgiven his sin. And therefore, Paul is writing to the Christians in Rome, about themselves as forgiven sinners who live in continual repentance. He instructs them regarding their renewal, that great perfect transformation resulting in their living in the religion of that love whereby Christ has set us free. Putting on Christ means living in that forgiveness whereby Christ has made us free to love our neighbor, also. All this is very strange language for one who is not familiar with the Apostle Paul, but there is more. This love of the neighbor is bracketed between two poles of understanding, which serve as motivating forces for the forgiven sinner. Let me quote the apostle. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And further, for salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. He, Jesus Christ, is coming again. So, between redemption and the last day, we are to live as people who put on Christ, that is, as forgiven sinners. Obviously, Paul is not writing to people who turn their attention to God or man, like that unrighteous judge in Christ's parable. gospel, there is neither fear of God nor fear for man, or the God of man. That disposition is the mark of a scoundrel. The Christians of Rome had heard the sharing healing good news of their forgiveness, which we hear in the gospel today, and the admonition of church, go and sin no more. The renewal of the sinner's mind, attitude, and action when he or she puts on Christ occurs not in isolation, but in the company of the communion of saints, the assembly of believers, which is the body of Christ. Each Christian is given gifts of grace and the assignment to use them in living with other Christians. We read each according to the measure of faith which God has assigned to him. The measure of faith which God has assigned to him. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us also use them. Paul does not teach Christian sanctification or renewal as having a mechanical quality and the quality of results, as you said today, because there is no such uniformity among Christian believers. Out of many, we become a one only in Christ. On account of each person and work, we all have the same forgiveness of sin. But we do not all have the same endowment of function or the same gift of grace. And because we are all different from each other, we forgiven sinners are also dependent on each other and can mutually support and help one another. So, we come back to St. Paul's prophecy. Love is the fulfilling of the law. For this reason, our Lord paid tribute to the government of the Roman Emperor Tiberius. In his life, our Lord also taught us the meaning of genuine love, zeal aglow with the Spirit. He taught us to rejoice in hope, to be patient in tribulations,